I guess I want to start by talking a little bit about Patron Saint of Ugly. Mm-hmm. Set up the story for us. Tell us a little bit about what it's about.
Okay. The novel is about a young woman named Garnet Ferrari who is born with port wine birthmarks covering her body that look like a map of the world. And her Italian grandmother insists that she's the descendant of a 16th century Sicilian saint who was similarly modeled and who could also heal people. And there are people who are healed in My Garnet's presence. So now pilgrims have set up a tent city outside her hilltop home in Sweetwater, West Virginia. And now the Vatican is investigating her. Garnet does not think she has any healing abilities. So she's dictating tapes to an archbishop in 1975, trying to debunk the myth and send the pilgrims and the Vatican packing.
And so tell me a little bit about the style. And you mentioned the interviews and the tapings.
Yep.
Is it more difficult to write in that style, trying to tell the story through those transcripts, through that interview sort of style, as compared to, I guess, your standard narrative?
It actually gave me a lot of freedom. When I started writing about 25 years ago, I fell in love with the magical realism of Gabriel Garcia Marquez and Isabel Allende. And I love the folkloric qualities, particularly of Garcia Marquez. So I had to really mature as a writer to be able to pull that off in a believable way. And I think finally in Patron Saint of Ugly, I felt competent enough to do it. And using the vehicle of tapes gave me so much freedom to infuse it with those folklore stories. And in fact, there are a few times throughout the novel that the Italian grandmother steals the tape recorder and she makes her own tape. And then an Aunt Betty steals the tape recorder and she makes her own tape. So everybody's trying to set the record straight. And my narrator, Garnet, may at times be an unreliable narrator. So you also have that theme rolling throughout the novel. So I actually love the device of using the tapes.
Tell me a little bit about Sweetwater. It's obviously a fictional town in West Virginia. Did you find the process of coming up with a fictional place difficult, or did that sort of make it easier given the story itself and the sort of fantastical nature of the story?
I was born in Huntington, West Virginia, and I grew up around an area called Gallagher Village, which is where the Catholic Church and the Catholic school that I attended are Our Lady of Fatima. And I modeled my Sweetwater village after Gallagher Village, right down to the pharmacy. There was a pharmacy called Nearman's that I borrowed. That's where the candy counter was and the soda fountain. There was a movie theater there where all the kids would go on Saturday morning to get their fix. So I sort of reshaped it a little bit. But in my mind, all the hills that I grew up in, I turned into kind of one hill atop which lives my reluctant saint. And the hill funnels down into one street called Appian Way, because there are a lot of Italians in this novel. I kind of dug into my Italian ancestry for this book. But I had a lot of fun trying to get nostalgic with my youth in Gallagher Village and put that into Sweetwater Village. And there's even a plant there where my father worked at the nickel plant in Huntington. So I have the plant there that's based on the nickel plant. And it was a joy, a pleasure and a joy.
This book's been getting a lot of attention.
Yes.
It's got a big publisher.
Yes.
What's the feeling all this happening right now? Is there feelings of rejoice, obviously?
Yes.
but what about moving forward? You still got plenty of writing left in you, I'm sure. What's the feeling moving forward? And what are people saying about the book whenever they talk about
well,
it?
Well, so far, reviews have been wonderful. And I knew when I was finishing up my solid draft of this novel, I knew that it was really special. And I wanted it to have professional representation. So I found an awesome agent who also was in love with it. And she's the one who got it into the hands of the editor at Houghton Mifflin, who also fell in love with it. And that's every writer's dream. And I took a lot of risks with this book. Anytime you're writing folkloric and magical realism, and your readers really have to suspend their disbelief. And some readers are willing to go there with you, and some are not, and so I understood that. But when this editor from Houghton Mifflin, Lauren Ween, fell in love with it and was willing to champion it, I thought, okay, this is my shot. This is the book that has a shot at it. And so far, reviews have been just fabulous, and it's been making some nice reading lists. Entertainment Weekly put it like number one on their summer reads list, which was pretty phenomenal for this woman from West Virginia. This book is going to get out there. And I have to be honest, that does put some weight on you for what are you going to write now? Well, the good news is I already started it about 2 years ago. I started my next novel because I knew the editing process is very slow, and it just takes time. You know, your editor has it for a year. You can't just sit on your hands. And as a writer, I know I always go a little crazy if I'm not working on a project. So the next book also has a lot of folkloric, mythological, magical realism elements in it, also set in a made-up West Virginia town. I love including unexpected elements. In Patron Saint of Ugly, there's a noir short story. There's a 60-minute transcript. Mike Wallace appears, you know, to interview. There are two pages with just the letter Z on it. So I'm doing a little bit of that in my new novel, which has a working title of Blood Orchard. I have a captivity narrative from a woman who was, you know, taken by Native Americans during the French and Indian War. So I have a little bit of that in there. I have a lot of humor and a lot of tragedy, which is also what I go for. You never know. A friend of mine said, Marie, after she finished reading Patron Saint, she said, Marie, you can die happy now. You know, she loved the book. I accomplished everything I wanted to accomplish. And if I never write another book, she said, you can die happy. So I'm trying to keep that in mind, though. I know I will always write.
Do you feel that way, though?
I have to say I am so in love with this novel, with The Patron Saint of Ugly. I put everything in it. I put the bathroom sink in it. I put everything that I had, everything that I felt, everything that I loved about. They always tell you to write novels that you'd want to read, and this is the one I would want to read because it does. It has a lot of humor. It has a lot of tragedy, a lot of pathos, and it's also playful and fun. And I don't know if I'll ever top it. I don't know if a writer should ever say that. I don't know if I'll ever top it, but I just am smitten, completely smitten with it.
Great. Well, Marie Mandola, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Great.